/Cast.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of We Came From Beneath the Sea. As always, I'm your host, Bailey.
And I'm Zach.
And I'm Brandon. Hello.
Welcome back to week 3 of March of the Monsters.
Yeah.
Which is a.k.a. season 2, episode 9.
You get it? Because it's March, and we're only talking about monster movies.
Anyway, at the end of the... Oh, shit. Just dropped my phone. Anyway, at the end of the last episode, said this week is going to be a surprise.
Which, if you clicked on this, you know it's a surprise.
You know what movie it is. And due to recent events, which I will get into very shortly,
yes,
this episode was supposed to be Pacific Rim. Also a great movie. I love Pacific Rim 1. I haven't seen the second one.
I've heard it's dog shit.
Yeah, it was pretty bad from what I hear. But Pacific Rim 1 was great. Had tons of potential for a franchise anyway. We'll do that eventually down the road at some point, because I like that movie a lot. One second. But today we are going to be doing Creature from the Black Lagoon. Just the first one. We're not going to do a franchise deep dive on this. But
was there like 3?
Yes, there's a trilogy.
Yeah. The other two are pretty solid.
In honor of Mr. Rico Browning.
Riku.
Riku Browning.
He passed away last week, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was very sad.
Made me real sad because he's my favorite monster.
What isn't, and I might be wrong on this, he was the last like surviving Universal monster, wasn't he?
Probably.
I believe so, yeah.
Boris Karloff's dad. He played the mummy too, right?
Karloff died a long time ago. Yeah, he played the mummy. And
So he's dead. Lon
Chaney Jr.'s been dead for a while.
Bela Lugosi. So yeah, I mean, he might be.
Claude Rains,
Invisible Man, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think he's dead, too.
but this is kind of our tribute to him.
Yeah. We saw this man, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zach actually got to get an autograph.
I got to meet him.
Got to meet him. I looked at him from afar.
Yeah.
He was a very sweet old man.
That is my deepest regret right now in life, is being too fucking broke to get an autograph and to get to talk to him.
Yeah, so... We went to Days of the Dead 2020, right?
Shittiest con I've ever been to, but...
Yeah, well, it's because it was the pandemic.
Yeah,
It was at the height of the pandemic. A lot of the vendors and guests pulled out because, obviously, COVID.
Oh, yeah,
right.
But who was there? Riku Browning, Riku 92 Browning. Years old, man. Yes,
like 90-something years old in a wheelchair.
Yep.
Just sitting there with a mask on. Yep. It's like, out of all the people to cancel, you should
probably should have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Tony Todd was supposed to be there. Tom Savini was supposed to be there.
CJ Graham was there.
Skeet Ulrich was supposed to be there.
Fuck you, Skeet. Dude. Mm. I've said this on the podcast, I think, before. But every time I've gone to see him, he fucking pulls out. Goddamn.
Yeah, because he's supposed to be at Horror Hound 2018, I think.
Every con I've gone to where he's been on the bill, he doesn't go. Goddamn son of a bitch.
He knows you're coming.
But out of all the people that you would think would pull out, in 2020.
It was Riku, man.
Riku was at like the top of your list, but no, he was fucking there.
Bro, he was
Remember the big ass banner he had at his table?
Yeah.
You know who bought that?
Who?
Riley has it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I don't know if he has it hung up yet, but when he lived in Chicago, he had it in his office.
Yeah.
Straight up, dude.
I'm always super jealous of his collection. Riley's got a lot of good stuff in his thing, but that is like, get anything out of his collection, it'd be that.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
But nah, dude, that is my deepest regret in life, is not getting an autograph.
You got
him.
To look at him. I got to look at Ron Perlman.
Yeah,
Dude, fucking, I remember walking up to his table, and I was like, if I'm going to get any autograph this year, it's going to be from him.
Right.
And I remember walking up to his table, and he smiled and his, I don't know if that was, might have been his daughter or something that was with him, or his assistant.
Maybe his manager or agent or something. Yeah, like that.
Something. She was real nice and bubbly and smiley, and like I sat and talked to her for a minute, and then Riku was, I think he was kind of surprised that I was at his table, because of how, you know, we're young, so he was probably like, this kid doesn't know who the fuck I am. And I went up and I thanked him for what he did for, you know, my childhood and like Creature and all that. And he got a big old smile on his face and he reached his hand out and he shook my hand and he said, thank you, young man. And he signed my thing. And I have that framed in my office.
There's a lot of literature we got to read through for this because I did some, not super deep dive research, but I pulled some shit. But nah, man.
Dude,
I knew it was gonna come someday. But like,
yeah, he's probably lived a good life.
This hit hard, bro.
Yeah, that.
Oh, I remember. I had just gotten home from work from the office, from my home office, which is across the street from where I live. And Brandon said Riku Browning died. I said, no fucking way.
Yeah,
you're lying to me.
Yeah, like because Twitter report, like it was on Twitter by Bloody Disgusting. I was like, oh shit.
Yep,
bro, that was the officially end of an era.
Yep.
It was the end of the Showa era of Universal movies.
Yeah. Like, okay, yeah. Let's without further ado, we're gonna dive into the factual stuff, all the trivia, all the production stuff I pulled. Then we'll dive into the plot. I'm not gonna dive super deep into the plot. If you haven't seen Creature from the Black Lagoon yet,
what are you doing?
It is one of the movies I recommend you see before you die.
What year did it come out?
54.
54? Damn, I thought it was like earlier than that.
Mm-mm,
54. I thought it was like 40s.
Creature from Black Lagoon was the last mainstay entry in the Universal Monsters.
Correct.
Everybody else had been already established years and years and years ago. And this was kind of the answer. Cool. So before I start reading, Creature from Black Lagoon was the answer to the drive-in. So the 50s had come along, drive-ins got popular, the Universal Monsters were basically out of the zeitgeist at this point. You know, people, you know, knew them, they liked them.
They were into, like,
they wanted big, sci-fi.
Yeah,
they like wanted sci-fi. Aliens, they wanted monsters from, like, laboratories.
Big, or mutated
ants, you know, giant ants, fucking all sorts
giant
of
monsters.
Shit.
It's fucking ants, bro.
And Creature from Black Lagoon came out of that, which, hey, great fucking
big
choice.
Fish guy.
So, directed by Jack Arnold, Millicent Patrick, who we're going to hear a lot of, designed the suit, starring Richard Carlson, Julia Adams, Richard Denning, Antonio Moreno, Nestor Paiva, and Whit Bissell as the main human cast.
Yep.
Gilman, as he is so lovingly called and copyrighted as, played by Ben Chapman on Land, who I believe was a Marine, United States Marine. And the underwater stunts performed by Riku Browning.
That's right.
Premiered in Detroit, February 12th, 1954. Then, as with all movies from this era, released regionally across the country on a regional basis.
Yep.
Yeah.
Another cool fact that I honestly didn't know until today. Excuse me. Creature from the Black Lagoon was filmed in 3D.
Oh, shit.
Yep. It was filmed on a 3D camera, which we'll dive into a little later. And actually, so you know, like, the 3D we see now with the polarized glasses?
Yeah.
That's originally how 3D was introduced. It wasn't the red and blue stuff till the 70s.
Yeah.
So, it was like that. But there were showings in 3D back then and in flat 2D. Mm. So, it just depends on what theater. Because usually the big 3D stuff was in bigger cities with larger theaters.
Yeah.
So, and then in the 70s, the 1975, it was actually, I think the term's rotoscoped, maybe, but it was done in the red and blue 3D in the 70s. And it was released on home video in the 90s, I believe.
Damn, it took that long?
No, well, with the red, with the 3D.
Oh, okay.
There was actually a lot of canceled remakes, too.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to this.
I feel like that's the case for, like, every Universal
That's a
IP,
big
though.
Chunk of my notes, actually, because I wanted to dive into it, because it's all interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So, in 1982, John Landis wanted Jack Arnold to which is the original director, wanted to remake the film, and Nigel Keneal, I don't know how to say his last name, he was hired to write the screenplay.
Yeah.
Upon finishing the script, it was actually two creatures. One which was like an angry one we know, and then the other one was just a calm and sensitive one, and they were going to be chased by the Navy, the United States Navy, throughout the movie.
You know, I shit on John Landis a lot, but I think that he probably could have done a really good
creature. He would have.
He would have been producing it.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Because he wanted Jack Arnold to do it.
Yeah. Did he write it? No. Or was that just like his idea?
Nigel Neal, yeah, it was his idea.
Okay.
It also would have been in 3D as well, but it was canceled by Universal for budgetary reasons, and since Jaws 3D was coming out around the time, they didn't want them to fight the box office.
Yeah.
Damn.
Two water-based creatures in 3D.
It could have just canceled Jaws 3D.
it's true. In 1992, our boy John Carpenter was developing a remake with Universal as well, and he hired Bill Phillips to write the script. Rick Baker was hired to do a 3D model of the creature, but it never got the green light.
That also would have been awesome.
And recently I saw, I think it was Bloody Disgusting, they did a piece on the Rick Baker version of the creature.
Yeah.
It was fucking scary, dude.
Yeah, John Carpenter remake of Creature would have been awesome.
It would have been baller.
And so with that, Herschel Weinrod and Timothy Harris wrote it, ended up writing a new script, and offered, and Universal ended up offering Peter Jackson the job.
Shit, that would have been good too.
That got canned
because
he was 95.
Oh, damn.
But that got canned because he was working on King Kong, which inevitably ended up coming out in 2005, a decade later.
Jesus.
Yeah.
How long did you work on that shit, my man?
And then in February of 96, Ivan Reitman, which he's Ghostbusters, I think. I think he did Ghostbusters.
Pretty sure. I can look into that.
He wanted to do a remake, but it never left the writing room. But after the success of the 1999 Mummy remake, Creature from Black Lagoon remake was revived, the idea of it. In December of 2001, Gary Ross signed on to write and produce this remake with his father, Arthur Ross, one of the originals writers. They told The Hollywood Reporter that year, "The story my father wrote embodies the clash between primitive man and a civilized man, and that obviously makes it a fertile area for re-examination."
He directed and produced Ghostbusters.
Ah, yes. Mm, okay. And then in August of 2002, Guillermo del Toro, who, if you guys don't know this fact, which is one of my favorite facts about him, he idolizes the Gillman. Like, that is his favorite thing in the entire world that, like, got him wanting to make movies.
Yep.
He was attached to do a remake.
Which would have been fantastic.
Oh, dude.
If there's anybody who deserves to do a proper remake of...
I believe he was attached to do the Dark Universe's reboot in 2017.
Yeah, if there's anybody who deserves to do a proper remake of Creature, it's
and I hope we get to see it someday.
Yeah.
Which leads me to, he had hoped to do one that focused on the creature's viewpoint while also doing the romance story as well.
Yeah.
Which later on led into The Shape of Water after Universal rejected it, which sucks. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah, it's fucking dumb. The Shape of Water is pretty solid, though.
I still need to see that. But yeah, because of creative differences and clashes, Universal dropped Del Toro and hired Teddy Sarafian, who did T3, Rise of the Machines, to write a script in March of 2003. Which leads us to October of 2005, Breck Eisner signed on as a director, being a fan of the film as a kid. And then what he wanted to do was update the iconic image from the 50s and bring it more to the sci-fi sensibilities of Alien or John Carpenter's The Thing.
Mm.
Ross said in March 2007 that the Gillman's origin would be reinvented with him being the result of a pharmaceutical corporation polluting the Amazon.
Yeah.
Which, I mean...
Not really that good 50s. Okay.
That sounds 50s.
Very 50s.
Yeah. Very 50s.
And then, since there was that writer's strike in the Writers Guild in 2007 and 2008, Eisner actually ended up making one of my favorite remakes of all time, which is The Crazies.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, he went on to do that, which was the number one project on his list.
I like The Crazies.
Yep, nice. And his goal was to do The Crazies, get that on the ground and rolling, and then do Creature from the Black Lagoon in Brazil.
But obviously it never happened.
Yeah, that never happened. Yeah. But Eisner spent 6 months designing the new incarnation of the Gill Man with Mark McCreary, who did Jurassic Park and designed Davy Jones, and said the design was very faithful to the original but updated, in that the Gill Man would still remain sympathetic.
I bet that would have been pretty cool.
Yep. Then we go to 2009, reported that Carl Eric Rinch might be directing a remake that would be produced by Mark Abraham and Eric Newman. However, it was dropped in 2011. Which brings us to 2012, when we're starting to get toward the Dark Universe reboot universe. Universal announced that a remake was in production and would simply be titled The Black Lagoon rather than Creature from the Black Lagoon to distinguish the two versions. The studio hired Dave, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that last name, to write. The film was expected to hit theaters in May of 2014, but was ultimately canceled, and Universal revealed in 2020 that Scarlett Johansson and Chris Evans were targeted for the remake.
Damn.
Yes. And then we have the Dark Universe reboot era, and then in 2014, as we know, they shared all that all the castings they were going to do and all the photo shoots. The series began with The Mummy, which sucked.
Yeah, it was horrible.
But it was going to be followed with Bride of Frankenstein in 2019, and Creature from the Black Lagoon was going to be after that.
Yeah.
Supposed to be a reboot with a story by Jeff Pinkner and a script written by Will Beale.
And you said Del Toro was going to do the creature.
He was supposed to, I
the
believe.
Dark Universe or whatever.
I believe. And then June, Kurtzman revealed that the Gill Man in this film would be from the Amazon, but on November 8th, Kurtzman and Chris Morgan moved on to other projects, leaving the Dark Universe behind.
And damn it.
Then, yes. And then there's this little fun fact that the Bride of Frankenstein would have been played by Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman.
Hmm. That would have been pretty good, I would think.
Yeah. And then it brings on the fact that we talked about The Shape of Water.
Javier Bardem was supposed to play the monster from Frankenstein, which I still think
he would have been
awesome.
A great awesome. Choice, dude. So now we get to, we're back in the 50s. Actually, we're in the 40s. So Creature from the Black Lagoon was actually thought of at a dinner party.
Mm.
They wanted to do a movie of a half. So somebody at the dinner party was telling a story of a half fish, half human creature in the Amazon, and somebody brought up the fact of using Beauty and the Beast as inspiration. And after that, they ended up writing the script we know.
When did so Beauty and the Beast was a story before it was a film, right?
Yeah, yes. It's a, okay. It's a fairy tale.
When did that come out? Like fucking
forever. It's
1910.
As long
or some
as
shit?
It's been, as humans have been telling stories, probably there's been the Beauty and the Beast type,
okay,
archetype. But Jack Arnold got hired due to the success of the 3D film House of Wax, which was that William Castle, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Which we all know William Castle, at least at this table, and his wacky ass gimmicks.
Yeah, correct.
Smell-o-rama.
Fucking skeletons flying from the ceiling.
He did smell-o-rama, right?
Yeah. I believe so. 13 Ghosts, where they had to do the 3D glasses and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. But yes. Back to Millicent Patrick. She worked for Disney for a while, and Bud Westmore, which, fuck you. Not Brandon, but I'm just, fuck you.
I was like, what do I do?
Bud Westmore was jealous of the fact that a woman was getting credit for this, so he was the type of dude that, like, oh, the photographers are coming today. Everyone take the afternoon off, and he would go up to where they were doing the designs, and he would get all the pictures taken of them so he could steal the credit.
That bitch.
Yeah. For over 50 years, took sole credit for that.
Man, fuck you. Yeah. You bitch.
So, it was a big team effort. Millicent Patrick, she's the one that had the idea for him.
Yeah.
But you gotta say, like, you know, out of all the Universal monsters, Gill Man probably is like the scariest looking one.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
pretty creepy.
So now
he looks kind of derpy, but
two more sections. Now we're talking about the Gill Man actors now. So Ben Chapman played the Gill Man for the majority of scenes on land.
Yep.
The on water scenes were filmed on the Universal backlot. The costume made it impossible to sit for the 14-hour days he wore it and got overheated very easily. Due to these difficulties, Chapman actually floated in the lake for most of the day when he was on downtime. So he's
chilling, bro. He's vibing.
And he would be hosed down frequently. And he also didn't see very well in that, so whenever he would be carrying Julie Adams, he would actually hit her head and shit.
Yeah.
When they were filming the grotto scenes, which is that rocky area toward the end.
That's fucking funny.
And then the goat Riku Browning obviously played the underwater shoots, which he could hold his breath for up to 4 minutes at a time.
That's fucking crazy.
So, like, was he a professional swimmer or something like that?
He was a stuntman.
Yeah.
He was a stuntman. Yep.
An actor. He did a lot of acting, too.
You gotta be pretty good.
He was in the Flipper movies, if you know Flipper, the dolphin.
Oh.
Yep, he was in those movies. In an interview in 2013, Browning clarified, if you're not doing anything at all, 4 minutes is possible. But if you're not,
if you're swimming around.
Or no, hold on, I got jumbled. If you're not doing anything at all, 4 minutes is possible, but not if you're moving in the water. You're swimming fast or fighting, you use up a lot of oxygen, and it cuts down to, at the most, 2 minutes. According one day, Browning said a snapping turtle had bit off the foot of the Gill Man costume, and then he had to chase the turtle to go get it back. Which is fucking hilarious. Like, I can just see him in the Gill Man suit chasing this little bastard.
Man, you little bitch. His toes like poking out of the suit.
Yeah, straight up. But alright, that's going to lead us into the beginning of the movie where we get some real religious shit.
Yeah.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Yep.
But after this, they do actually use accurate to the time scientific data.
Yes.
About the Ice Age and how the Earth cooled very rapidly, and that's how we have all the oceans and lakes and rivers and shit. Which leads us to the dig site in Brazil, which was shot in Florida before Disney wrecked the goddamn ecosystem.
Yep.
But we're with a paleontology team in Brazil, and they're doing some digging, trying to find just artifacts and
fossils
and all sorts of stuff.
They find a fossil.
They find a big ass hand.
Yeah, it's cool looking.
It's still got some skin.
It's got webbed fingers. Yep. And shit. So they're like,
Skin doesn't fossilize. So how do they know it had webbed? Webbed hands.
Well, they smart.
They smart.
It's a movie, bro.
So they start digging out this thing, and all they get is the hand.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's
pretty cool looking.
There's the body inside the rock. I want a replica of that.
Yeah, I've seen the props where like they're in the glass domes, like with the stand. The stand's holding them up.
I want one of those so bad.
Yeah, it's cool as fuck.
But that leads him to an institute, which is not very far from their site, where I have to pull up their names because I don't remember them. Julie Adams and the leading man, are there.
Yeah.
Let me pull up the cast.
He wants to like dig up the fucking site.
But basically, he goes to them, and he's like, hey, I know you guys know a lot about this stuff. Could you please come back and help me, you know, find this thing?
No.
So, Kay Lawrence and Mark Williams.
Yep.
And David Reed.
Yep.
From the Institute. They get talked into going. Bad decision.
Yeah, y'all going.
Very bad decision. And we get very 50s dialogue. Why aren't you married yet? Well, why don't you mind your own fucking business?
Yeah.
We ain't got the money, even though we're scientists employed by a fucking rich man.
Straight up. So, they go, and once they're back, the Gill Man kills.
Yeah, these guys are camping out.
It's Brazilians, and they're like they're like very kind of like stereotypically foreign.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's the 50s, man. Yeah.
You see the notorious the shadows and like them dying.
It was a different time back then.
But they think what killed them is a jaguar, and one of the locals was like, no, jaguar cut like this.
It's Lucas. He's the boat driver.
Yeah.
He's my favorite character in the movie.
Yeah. Lucas is cool. I just want like someone to recreate like a big chunk of the ship missing, but where it says Rita on it.
Yeah.
I want that, like, hang up on my wall. They're on the Rita, which is the boat that Lucas owns.
Correct. That he charters out.
Yep, they charter it out to go to the Black Lagoon in the Amazon. And Upon further excavation of the area where that was found, they do like 3 days worth of work or something like that. And they don't find the body, which they think, it could have washed down river as this was forming way, way back in the whatever era.
Right.
And it empties into a lagoon, which Lucas calls the Black Lagoon, a paradise which no one has ever returned. And they risk it, and that's where they find the Gill Man.
The boy.
Which is where we get the beautiful, beautiful fucking scene of Julie Adams going for a swim.
And him swimming underneath her?
That is, dude.
Yeah, it's lit.
Cinematic perfection.
It's fucking awesome.
Cue Super Mario 64 underwater music.
Yeah, dude.
I think it would fit so well, too.
Just that scene of him, I can see it now. It's Julie Adams swimming, she's stomach down, and then Riku Browning is stomach up, looking at her doing a backstroke. And I'm I remember the first time I ever saw this movie. I was like 12.
Gilman's like, damn.
And local legends Finn Gooley actually turned me on to the Gillman.
Yep.
He did a 3-weekend, so he does Saturday shows, and every week he did one Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Midwestern horror host icons.
Chicago.
Yeah.
Correct.
I want to meet him so bad and just let him know that, hey man, you changed my fucking life.
Yeah, I hope he comes to like...
He goes to ones in Chicago.
Yeah, but I hope he comes over here.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Either that or hopefully...
But I'm done gushing about that scene. Yeah. But he notices how beautiful Kay is, which is Julie Adams.
He's like, damn, shawty.
Damn! Can I get your number?
Can I get your number?
Can I have it?
She's got... And like this is like a lot of like women back in the day. Like
Julie Adams is fucking beautiful.
They put like a lot of like product in their hair to like give it like volume and texture and shit. Her hair is like very flowing.
She is just beautiful.
Yeah.
She's got like waves for days, bro.
Yeah. So, Mark and Carl go back to the thing and they go underwater. And Gill Man's stalking them. He's like, hey, what you doing in my waters?
Come on, Greg.
I also like the fact that we have that suspense because they go so deep, they have to depressurize their lungs as they come up, so we get those suspenseful scenes of like, oh, shit.
Oh, you know, what happens? It's not going to come back up, you know?
Yeah. So, Gillman keeps just fucking with them. He gets caught in the net, and he like almost breaks the damn rigging.
Yep.
And the what's that thing called? The motor to the... The netting rope, I forget what that's called. The winch. It's
a winch. They got to crank it and everything. Yep. Yeah.
And they actually do capture the Gill Man, but he escapes when everybody's sleeping.
He tears through that motherfucker.
Oh, dude.
And
just how strong that motherfucker is.
Yeah. He also gets lit on fire.
Oh, yeah.
And then jumps in the lagoon.
What's...
He's like...
Straight up.
He's probably the most like temperamental like universal monster, because he just like... There's a couple of scenes involving some lanterns where he's just like, fuck this thing.
Oh, yeah, Kay smashes one on him.
Yeah. He's like, fuck this thing, and he, like, whacks it.
Yep.
I like the sounds he makes.
Yeah.
Like the deep sounds.
Yeah. Edwin gets injured after this incident where Kay smashes the lantern, and David decides they should just go. He's like, we're done.
We gotta go.
Yeah, Mark. Yeah. Who also is in a love triangle between the two main people.
There's
which is so fucking weird. Like, that's his woman, man. Why are you pushing in on that?
Yeah.
Well, I think they allude to that him and, what's her name?
Kay
had, like, a relationship in the past.
Maybe, but, like, it's still weird, you know?
Yeah, it's like, bro, she's with another man now.
Straight
my guy.
But no, he's like, we should leave. And Mark's like, we should kill this motherfucker.
Yeah, Mark's he's their boss, right? He funds their shit.
Yeah, he's funding the expedition.
So, like, he's just the rich, evil guy.
Yeah.
He wants to kill Gill Man throughout this entire thing, whereas David is just like, no, let's just get the fuck out of here and leave him alone.
Yeah. And in this moment, they say the boats have been destroyed, because they did destroy the boats.
Yeah.
How do they get... So Kay gets kidnapped by the creature. Yeah. How do they get to the island? They take a boat. They take a little rowboat.
They take the boat.
Yep. Excuse me?
They fixed it. They patched it.
Apparently. But no, they get to this grotto, which that confrontation's great.
Oh, yeah.
And really, dude, they spear gun him in the back underwater.
You see, like, you can see the creature's lair, too, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
Yep. Dude.
Yeah, he's got like he's got a way that you can swim into it, and he's got a way that you could go out, walk out onto land into it, and everything.
He's
like
got
that.
A penthouse, sweet dog.
Yeah, I'd live there.
But
hell yeah!
As the Rita tries to leave, Gilman blocks the lagoon's entrance with a bunch of logs, mm-hmm. and then while trying to move him, Mark gets mauled to death. Get fucked, by the way.
Fuck you, Mark.
And then he climbs on the Rita, grabs Kay, and he takes her to its cavern lair. And then David, Lucas, and Carl chase after the creature. She gets rescued. And it alludes that the creature dies.
Yeah, they quote-unquote kill the creature.
Because he sinks into the water.
Yeah.
To a watery grave.
He ain't dead. There's two more movies.
There's two more sequels. But yeah,
he ain't dead.
I blew through the plot, but...
I mean, you gave a lot of interesting shit.
I want to mention the fact that this movie changed cinema. Essentially, they filmed a lot of shit underwater.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work, even today, to do that shit.
Even for the technology that they had.
Yeah.
Was it the first movie that shot underwater shots?
If not the first, it is one of the first.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. But
can't necessarily say that it is
like,
the OG.
Like Bailey said, it's a lot of work, especially for the tech that they had, what was available to them.
Like,
for sure.
And Riku's, you know, dedication to doing this in a heavy suit with 4 minutes worth of air, but actually only having two doing all that work.
Back in them days when they would film a movie, like, it's not like how it is now where you have, like, agents and lawyers that will sue the shit out of
No, you were you worked for the studios back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where like they will over fucking work you if they want to, basically.
Well, this is one of my favorite facts of cinema history. It has nothing to do with creature. But back in the day, you know how they used to do gunshot scenes? Like if someone was getting shot at, they'd use real guns.
Oof.
They would hire ex military marksmen and they'd be behind the camera with say a Tommy gun. They'd shoot around you. You couldn't move. And if you were moving, they'd have to shoot over your head or sweep by your leg or something.
Good thing we don't do that.
That is why SAG exists, the Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah.
I forget the guy. He was a very famous actor back in the day. He was tired of getting shot at. So him and a bunch of his friends created the union.
Yeah.
But
yeah, back in the day, you just hear all these like stories about how they would work like fucking...
Sexual favors, long days, fucking... Yep.
16 hours a day.
Yeah.
Or you would have, like, a fucking Stanley Kubrick incident where he would have you film the same scene, like
70 times.
100-something times until you're at the point of killing someone.
The early days of Hollywood were fucking Wild West, man.
Yeah.
It's not really horror-related. It kind of is, but we should do a topic-based episode on that someday. That'd be a fun thing to do.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
I want to hear your guys' thoughts on this movie. I know Zach loves this fucking movie.
Yeah,
but.
I'll go first. I've said this in a couple of episodes in the past. Here recently, actually, not the biggest fan of Universal monster movies, and I know that a lot of people are probably like, "Bro, what the fuck? How come?" You know.
I mean, it's fair. It's a fair opinion.
It's just you know. I don't know, like, old black and white movies just don't do it for me most of the time, man.
Yeah.
But this is one of the ones that I think is stronger, you know. It's not boring. It's not, you know, it's 79 minutes, you know, so it doesn't have any, like, pacing issues. And like you said, like, for the time, these were probably the best effects, the best film, like, the best cinematography.
And... the reason that suit was so heavy, because at this point in time, studios were starting to use, like, foam for suits and stuff. This was latex and shit. This was heavy stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So. But yeah, like, all the acting was good. You know, you had your characters you rooted for. You had the ones that you didn't fucking like, you know.
It is that stereotypical monster movie hierarchy of how shit goes.
So was, I don't know if you would have said it. I don't know if I was listening close enough, but was the lagoon like a set or was it somewhere that they actually filmed like,
so
on location?
There were pools they used, but a lot of the surface, like the exterior shots, quote unquote, was filmed in Florida in a swamp.
Well, either way it goes, I mean, it's a great fucking...
Which, the swamp doesn't exist anymore, because you know what sits there now? Disney.
Oof. But anyways, like, I mean, either way it goes, whether it be set or like a location, it looks great.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
so
cool.
I really like the look of the monster. I will say this, this might be a hot take, but I kind of prefer the Monster Squad's Gilman. Because he's got that fucking mouth on him.
He's more like fishy.
He'll bite the shit out
of him. He's more of a fish creature than a half, you know, hybrid creature in that.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you know, Gilman's iconic, and there's a reason why so many other creatures are kind of, like, inspired by him.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I'd probably give it, like, a solid 7 or 8, somewhere in that park.
I'm biased.
I don't think it's, you know, perfection.
Yeah,
just
you know,
me, you know.
And I'm biased, too, because this is, like, my one of my favorite things in the entire world. Yeah. It's a 10 for me, man, like.
Yeah, like you two love the Universal stuff. I'm kind of, you know, in and out of it, I guess.
Oh, man, just wait till you see the one where they give him a set of lungs and put him in a theme park. That's the third one.
I was like, what?
Yeah, they capture him. They sew his gills shut and give him a pair of human lungs, dress him in a suit, and put him in a theme park.
When was this?
That's the third one, which is Revenge of the Creatures, the second one. That would have been closer to the 60s, like 59 or something like
Holy
that.
Holy shit. Hey, buddy, you want to go to a theme park in a suit? He's like, oh. Yeah. What year was it?
Hold on.
1950.
Revenge of the Creature was the second one. That was 55. Which Clint Eastwood's in that one.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. That is his film debut.
That's kind of like Lee Van Cleef in Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. He's just like that soldier at the end.
That was his first one. I'm trying to find the goddamn sequel. Creature Walks Among Us.
Yep.
65 or 56, I mean.
Yep.
Oh, they did them year to year?
Yeah. From 54 to 56.
Oh, my God.
You showing him the picture of him.
It looks like Debo. It looks like Debo when he got out of prison.
He kind of does. Yeah. But, yeah, they sew his gills shut and put him in a theme park.
Oh,
and then
my
he escapes.
God.
I don't
know. That is not Rico Browning, I take.
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
Yep.
And three?
Yeah, he's in all of them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Get that money, I guess. But
nope. And then my favorite part of that movie, before we get off this, so he doesn't know he has lungs. He doesn't know his gills are shut. So he escapes the lab or whatever, and he's running around, and he jumps in the water, and he starts...
Yeah.
He starts drowning.
Yeah.
And you just see him kind of floating.
Yeah.
Like he's just...
He's like, what is going on? Yeah. He's like, wait a minute.
That is so fucking wacky. I need to watch the sequels.
You'll like them.
They're good. I have it if you want to
borrow. Revenge of the Creature is really solid.
It's a solid sequel for sure.
It's really good.
Sam Elliott loves Creature from the Black Lagoon. I just want to mention that on the podcast before we end this episode.
Hell yeah.
I listened to a podcast he did, which is real rare for Sam Elliott to do, but he remembers what got him wanting to be in movies, which Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Nice. I mean, he was probably like a little kid when that came out, or maybe even a,
like 10 or 11, I think.
Yeah, maybe a preteen or something.
Yeah. Like Bailey said, yeah, I love this fucking movie. It's not my favorite Universal monster movie. My favorite Universal monster movie is The Wolfman. That's no surprise. Fucking love The Wolfman. But I love Creature as well. Yeah, suit design, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Setting, beautiful.
Hell yeah.
Acting, beautiful.
Main lead girl, beautiful.
Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Lucas, beautiful.
Yeah, I do love Lucas. We cannot express enough.
I think it's one of the bit, like, I think Creature's storytelling and acting is a little better than the Wolfman.
For sure.
Just a little bit.
For sure.
Its effects are better too.
Yeah, I'll say that too.
Because they're different. Like, yeah, it's like comparing apples to oranges, but like...
Yeah.
Those movies also, like, were made, you know, over 10 years apart.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, it's just like, you know, when you think of, like, iconic transformations, the Wolfman's is iconic, but it's very different from what I think a lot of people know it as today.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, you know, show them with a little bit of makeup at a time, you know?
Yeah, and that process took, like, over... like 15 hours to do. But, I mean, you get all these cool underwater shots, like, for the time, and it's, yeah, Creature is a fucking amazing movie.
Straight up, dude.
It's one that if people, like, newer horror fans are trying to branch out and try some of the older stuff, this is the movie I always recommend.
Yeah, and this one aged, like, really well, too.
Yeah, it really did. Out of, you
really,
know.
Like, all of, like, I said this in the past, but I don't think the Universal Monster movies aged as well as people say, but I don't mean it as in,
well,
like,
of course not.
I don't mean it as in, like, they're unwatchable, you know what I'm saying? I just don't, like, I don't know, I think that a lot of the shit that I like, it's just, it's based off of my tastes and shit.
Yeah.
You know,
it's hard to explain.
But, yeah, Creature is a very good entryway into watching the Universal film, so I always recommend Creature, and then if people like Creature, watch The Wolfman.
The Wolfman.
And if you like The Wolfman, watch Dracula, The Mummy, Frankenstein.
Bride of Frankenstein is also pretty good, too.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, and obviously, as us horror fans know, it inspired a shit ton of things, like fucking Bride of Chucky and...
It always kind of like... Bride of Frankenstein kind of leads the trope of, like, in a sequel where, like, the creature has to have a mate. Like, it kind of start it's the trailblazer of that trope. Like, they, the monster or whatever, like, that's, like, one of the two directions you can go with, like, creature features in their sequels. It's like, okay, so the monster is by itself in the first movie, but in the second one, it either multiplies or there's a second one that turns out to be its mate.
Which Gilman mate never did.
Which Gilman never did. But
or it could be its child.
Or too. The child, yeah.
So like a Godzilla like, thing.
Nope, Gilman never had kids, a wife, or a duplicate.
Yep. Yeah. Smart man.
What if there was... Would y'all be mad if there was a baby Gilman, though?
No. I'd be mad if we got a fucking woman creature with red lipstick to show us that it's a woman.
Yeah. That would be kind
of
funny.
I think that was originally one of the ideas for there to be a woman creature.
Oh, I don't know.
It has boobs. I'm okay with that.
Like slimmer figure boobs, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
But yeah.
I think that about does it for this one, too, folks.
Yep.
Hope you enjoyed our little discussion and me geeking out over one of my favorite movies for a legend who left this world.
Very recently.
Very recently.
So
sore subject.
So.
RIP, you know, it ain't like it happened like a year ago and we're finally getting around to it. Right now. It happened like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And we'll definitely do episodes on the sequels eventually at some point because we got to talk about the ridiculousness that is
The Creature like, Walks Among Us.
Yeah.
We've done this before too. Like we did Prom Night and there's like three sequels and a remake to that. So
I haven't seen any of the sequels to Prom Night. No. I really like the original.
I like the remake.
Oh, that remake fucking sucks.
Well,
I haven't.
How many times do I have to tell y'all? I love the early 2000s bullshit.
I haven't seen the remake in a while. I don't really remember how I felt about it, so I might have to rewatch it.
Some of it, looking back, is like, really?
People really hate the original, like the first Prom Night.
First Prom Night's fine.
A lot of people hate on it, though.
I like the disco. Like, once it goes, like, full disco, I'm there for it.
I really, really like the original
I haven't
Prom
watched
Night.
The original Prom Night since we covered it on the show.
Yeah.
That
was that like movie, like,
or some
that
shit.
Was early on.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Rest in peace to Riku Browning.
Yeah.
I was texting the guys. I was very fortunate to said I got to meet this man and talk with him, so I was...
It's like Ted White, too, man. I never got to meet Ted White.
Yeah, I'm so bummed about that.
That was
man.
Last year, I think, right?
Yeah,
I
think it was last year.
Damn.
Yep. We got to meet our heroes, man.
That's
dropping like
it.
Flies these days.
That's part of it, though. Like, you get older, and then, you know.
Yep. That's why I want to meet Roger L. Jackson so bad, man. He's a fairly younger guy.
Yeah, I met Roger.
Shit can happen, man, you know.
Me and Braden met Roger.
The 1 year me and Zach couldn't go.
Yeah, he was nice as fuck.
Oh, dude, he's a sweetheart. I know his agent.
Don't say it on here. But
no, I mean, I don't know him personally, but I know who he is and how to contact him and stuff. Yeah.
I'm sure he'll come back through.
Roger, come on the show.
Yeah. Dude, I would freak out.
Maybe we can get in contact him. With
Roger,
him
come to Zach's house, sit right next to me, and be my best friend.
Yeah,
well, maybe we can get in contact with him and like get him to like record like an intro for the show or something.
I feel like we would all be like the kid from Trek Shrek forever after.
Do the roar.
Yeah, be like, do the voice.
Do the roar.
Do the voice.
Good roar.
But yeah, he's generally, like, out of all of, like, the celebrities I've met, he was one of the best ones.
He is a sweetheart, dude.
Because we were trying to get something for Zach because he couldn't be there, and you know, we explained to him, and I'm not gonna get into it on the show, but like we explained to him why he couldn't be there, and he gave me and Braden like a free autograph.
Hmm.
Yeah,
that's so
funny. They were like it was like a little picture, a ghost.
Yeah,
face,
it's still you know, a thing. Yeah,
yeah. So.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's my favorite story, like con story.
Yeah,
you weren't even there.
No, I wasn't even there.
I explained it on like a bonus episode.
We did. Yeah, when we did our conventions and community episode, which is a good episode. It's one of my favorites we've ever done.
Yeah, that was like early too. So just that go back and listen to that.
Super early, man.
Yeah.
Our audio might be shit in that episode.
Yeah, because that was one we did on Discord.
Yeah.
So I mean. Listen to it, but keep in mind, it's probably gonna sound like shit.
I'll say it. I've off mic, but I think that about does it for this episode. We came from beneath the sea. We will be back next week with a gem. We will be watching and reviewing King Kong 1933.
King Kong. Yeah. This was okay. So like we were originally gonna do this for our 100th.
Or is it 1933.
We were originally going to do this for our 100th episode, but we decided to do, like, a season 2 kind of thing.
Yep.
So, we're like, technically, we're like, a couple episodes past our 100th.
I think so.
You know, so.
Needless to say, it's long overdue.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we did Godzilla already, so we got to fucking do King Kong now.
Yep. Oh. Which, it'll be a good time. Everyone likes Big Monkey.
The Monkey.
All right, well. I think that wraps up this episode of March of the Monsters.
Correct.
There's only one more.
I hope you guys enjoyed. Follow us on our socials. Yeah, that is the last one. Yeah. Follow us on our socials. We will be updating y'all for our April schedule very shortly on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter is at WCFBTS, and Instagram is We Came From Beneath the Sea, all one word, all lowercase. If you want to follow us on Facebook, too, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't really post there much anymore.
Facebook is so boring.
We don't get much engagement over there. We get a lot of foreign country engagement.
Yeah.
Indonesia, Asian countries like that. India,
fine,
I think, too.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I love our international
viewers.
But
it's just like, Facebook is so shit these days.
Yeah,
it's
stupid.
Yeah.
But hope you guys have a fantastic week. Thanks for listening. Send us email if you want at beneaththecpod@gmail.com. Send us episode ideas, topics, movies you want us to do.
That's right.
Whatever. Reviews, even, if you want to send us a review.
Sometimes it's hard for us to fucking figure out what we want to do. So
yeah, we have many times we're like, who knows?
We don't know if we want to continue doing standalones, do a topic-based, or a franchise breakdown.
I'm kind of over franchises, man.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
But it's worth it in the end.
I mean, hey, we could do fucking Wishmaster.
Ooh, no.
There's only four of those. We could do Ghoulies.
I'll do Wishmaster 2. We could end up doing Phantasm, which is like a whole.
You would rather do fucking Phantasm.
No. I'm saying Phantasm would be hard because that's like a whole 9 to 5 worth of research and work.
It's confusing as fuck.
Yeah,
none of them make sense.
No.
I know. All right, well, I think we're going to get off. Because we're just dragging.
Yeah, we're just dragging.
So, I hope you guys have a wonderful week. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Sayonara. See ya.